nothing but a hound dog. You cry all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Crying all the time. Well, you ain't never caught a rabbit and you ain't no friend of mine. Well, they said you was high class. Well, that was just a lie. Yeah, they said you was high class.
Well, you know that voice? You know those hips? I can't see those hips. Elvis Presley, on this day in 1956, recorded Hound Dog at the RCA Studios in New York. Take 31, the version they released. The single sold more than 10 million copies globally, became his best-selling song, and topped the pop chart for 11 weeks. That record stood for 36 years. If I'm not mistaken, didn't Boyz II Men break the record? Like End of the Road, perhaps? Hound Dog, recorded on this day. This version you hear right now. Version 31, take 31, from Elvis Presley. Done on this day back in 1956. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve Gruber here on The Steve Gruber Show. SteveGruber.com, at Steve Gruber Show on Twitter, 888-900-9966, the phone number. And you can find me on Twitter, too, at Scott Bertram, SCOTBERTRAM. We just talked with Gary Goldman about the Andy Ngo beating in Portland this past weekend. Andy Ngo was on Tucker Carlson's show last night and gave a full description of what happened to him. Here's Andy Ngo last night with Tucker Carlson.
On Saturday, documenting this protest that was organized by Antifa and its allies, we were a literal stone's throw away from Portland's most important institutions of the rule of law, the courthouses, the sheriff's office, the central police precinct, while hearing people chant, "No hate, no fear," I'm suddenly bashed on the back of my head from behind. And from there, I'm a very passive person. I've never been in a fight. It took me a few seconds to realize that I was actually even hitting my head. When I realized what was happening, it was too late. A mob of people, all dressed in black and wearing masks, started beating me with their fists, and some of them used objects to hit me. I don't know how many people were involved. It seemed like 5, 10, 15, or 20. It could have been that many. They beat me so much that I lost control of my GoPro camera that I was holding, which was then stolen from me. And when I thought it was over, I was wrong. I put my arms up to try to shield my face as well as to signal to them that I was surrendering and that I wasn't there to fight, but that really signaled to them to be more aggressive. So then they started dumping what I believe were milkshakes and eggs, throwing it at my face, which blinded me so I couldn't see. And I was kicked some more, punched some more. And all this time I kept thinking, where are the police? I could still see the Multnomah County Justice Center in front of me, but no police ever arrived. I eventually stumbled away, bleeding, across the park, and I lost my balance, so I sat down on the ground in front of the courthouse. And from there, a medic SWAT team informed me that in order to get an ambulance to be taken to a hospital, I would have to walk to the police precinct. In other words, walk back in the direction of the demonstrators who just attacked me. Later that night, after arriving in the emergency room, I had a CT scan, which confirmed that I was diagnosed with a brain hemorrhage.
Andy Ngo, last night, on Tucker Carlson, describing exactly what happened to him during that Antifa protest mob riot over the weekend in Portland. Last I saw, they had identified three potential suspects and were searching for them in Portland. Certainly, it seems like people will know who they are. So it's a matter of whether friends will turn each other in. I'm not too optimistic that will happen. David French, writing at National Review, with an interesting idea here. Unmask Antifa and watch the cowards retreat. He says there is a simple and well-known legal reform that will go a long way toward deterring Antifa violence, even when police aren't close by, but iPhones are. It's called an anti-masking law. They've long existed in the South as a check on Klan violence, and they not only make it easier for police to immediately identify and arrest criminals, they also allow witnesses to preserve the pictures and videos of violent attackers for later criminal or civil action. When I, David French, tweeted over the weekend in support of an anti-masking ordinance in Oregon, a number of correspondents asked me if the laws were consistent with First Amendment protections for anonymous speech. The answer is, generally, though not always, yes, and there's relatively recent on-point case law in the Second Circuit saying so. While the Court of Appeals cases aren't nationally dispositive, the panel in Church of the American Knights of the Ku Klux Klan v. Carrick included Sonia Sotomayor. Its reasoning is instructive. New York's anti-masking law predates the Klan, tracing its history back to 1845. The statute essentially prevents gatherings of masked people unless they're gathering for a masquerade party or some sort of entertainment like that. The panel considered a number of constitutional challenges, including claims that wearing masks was a form of expressive conduct and claims that wearing masks protected a right to anonymous speech. They rejected those claims. Anti-masking laws, David French writes, can be unconstitutional when applied to peaceful demonstrators seeking to protect their identities as a matter of personal safety, but that reasoning doesn't apply to Antifa. Its members seek to engage in violence and destruction with impunity, and the mask protects them from legal accountability. If you think Antifa members like to have their identities revealed, well, there's a video he attaches. Alabama police officers enforce an unmasking law at Auburn University. And let's just say that those Antifa members weren't all that enthusiastic about sticking around if they had to show their faces. So perhaps this is one solution. I know in Illinois, there is a member named John Cabello. He's a state house member, and he's also a Rockford police detective, Rockford, Illinois police detective. And it had to be about a year ago when we had some Antifa violence that John Cabello proposed exactly this legislation in Illinois, proposed an anti-masking law in Illinois. And he received the same sort of objections that David French addresses in this piece. That law, you know, the proposed law would have carve-outs, again, for masquerade parties or entertainment. But Antifa is not wearing masks to protect their identities because they don't feel safe. They're wearing masks to protect themselves from prosecution, from any criminal conduct that might occur. And David French is excellent on First Amendment issues, and I trust that he has both thought this out and researched it out. And it seems like, to me, a pretty decent idea moving forward. Now, the problem you're going to have is, of course, in Portland or in Oregon, you know, if you go for a state law, the same politicians, the same leftists who defend Antifa and allow them to run wild in the streets would be responsible for then passing a law saying, you have to show your face. You have to open yourself up for potential prosecution, right? I'm not certain that's going to happen anytime soon, but perhaps in more favorable states, you can at least have these in place to avoid incidents in the future. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
We're here with Dr. Andrew McCursey, radiologist with Sparrow Hospital. Dr. McCursey, Sparrow has expanded its radiology services to Sparrow Health Center Lansing. What's offered there?
We have a full array of imaging services at the health center. We have MRI, CT, 3D digital mammography, ultrasound, digital X-ray, and bone density.
What are the advantages for the patients who go there?
Our patients love the convenient location. They also love the easy in-and-out parking. And they also love the ability to schedule examinations after hours, both on the evenings and the weekends.
How can people learn more about Sparrow's radiology services?
To learn more, they can go to sparrow.org/radiology-services.
That's sparrow.org/radiology-services. We've been speaking to Dr. Andrew McCursey, radiologist with Sparrow Hospital, about how Sparrow has expanded its radiology services to Sparrow Health Center Lansing. Choose wisely. Choose Sparrow.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Rich Dudley, President and CEO of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. For 60 years, the Chamber has been your voice in Lansing, fighting for pro-business, pro-taxpayer, pro-jobs legislation. It's been our commitment to work with lawmakers on both sides of the aisle in Lansing to create an environment that allows businesses to grow and to create a strong and thriving economy. We are member-driven and policy-focused. The Michigan Chamber represents over 6,000 companies of all sizes and types in all 83 of Michigan's counties. Michigan Chamber members employ over 1 million Michigan residents. That's why we're focused on the mission of promoting conditions favorable to job creation, economic growth, and free enterprise.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward. She'll drive.